Hey babies, this is Bunny XO, host of the Dumb Blonde podcast, and I want to talk to you about the free iHeartRadio app. Did you know that you can listen to all your favorite iHeart stations across the country on the iHeartRadio app, and it's free? Download all your favorite episodes so you can listen on the go. They now offer a super cool feature called Talkback, giving pod fans access like never before to their favorite hosts, as well as the opportunity to submit questions, influence future episodes, and more. Download the iHeart app today and don't forget to listen to my weekly show, The Dumb Blonde Podcast. From crash diets to fad diets, injections, and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E. That's SonoBello, SonoBello.com/bunny. What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. Is this thing on?
Bonnie, who used to be a former sex worker and now hosts the podcast Dumb Blonde.
Most little girls grow up wanting to be doctors and lawyers and shit. And I was like, I want to be super hot, make a lot of fucking money, and be a rock star's wife. That was my goal as a child. And here we are.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? We are back, baby. We are in the Nashville studio. It is a little bit lackluster, but we are building on it, so don't judge us by the couch right now. But I have one of my favorite humans here today, the most highly requested girl to be on the podcast, woman, young lady to be on the podcast, Miss Bailey Ann.
Howdy, y'all.
What are you doing, baby?
I'm currently sitting on your couch waiting for you to interrogate me for the next hour or so.
When was the last time you were on the podcast?
2020.
Was it 2020?
2020. And we did the, I took over. We did Bailey Takeover.
Oh, okay. That was that one. But then last time you sat on the couch though, when was the last time you were on the couch?
Oh, wow. That would have been earlier than that.
I was going to say, cause that was when we were in the old house. Yeah, that was
house studio.
Mm-hmm.
Your first season was the last time I was on the
couch. Was it the first season? Mm-hmm. Holy shit. So you were like, what, 7?
No.
Eight or nine, maybe 10. Maybe.
It was right around when Sunshine After the Rain came out, so yeah.
It was right around when?
Sunshine After the Rain.
Yep.
So, 9. Mm-hmm. God, I'm old. Jesus Christ.
You are getting up there in years, kid.
We are.
We so are you, so
Miss 45.
What'd you say?
Said so are you, Miss 45.
Hey baby, and I could still hang with the 20-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Listen, I can't wait until you're 40. When you're 45, because I'm gonna be like, hey, remember when you used to give me shit? Remember how young I used
I
to
hope
look
you
at
give
45?
Me so much shit.
Oh,
too.
I will for
it's
sure.
Be great.
Absolutely will. Speaking of, your Sweet 16 is coming up.
It is.
And I don't know if you guys have ever watched my Sweet 16.
My Super Sweet 16
on MTV. It's an old TV show, so for a lot of, I guess, the millennials probably wouldn't know
millennials
who it is. Yeah. It's a show that was on MTV, and it's these kids that get followed, and it's their 16th birthday, and they throw these extravagant parties and stuff like that. And Bailey for the longest time has been like, I don't want a big party for my Sweet 16. And I'm like, well, you only turn 16 once. And I'm like, go watch this show and then get back to me.
I've been watching. I've done binge. I think I've seen every season. There's more guys than there are girls, which I found really interesting.
Yeah,
Yeah, for sure.
It's been really entertaining, to be honest. It's my new show.
Why would the boys care?
It's my show right now.
Yeah, why would the boys care about Sweet 16?
There's this one girl who threw her her Sweet 16 in like a zoo. And I was like, really? You want to smell like a zoo on your Sweet 16? I have concerns.
Yeah, that's
sincere ones.
Yeah, that is weird. The fact that there's more dudes too
is crazy.
Yeah.
Most of them were straight. It's so even weird. Wilder to me.
So I think we have you talked into doing a big Sweet 16.
Listen, it may not seem like it, but I hate, like, we're the same way in like that aspect of like, we don't like attention. We don't like the idea of something being centered around us. Mm-hmm. So it's like the idea of throwing like a come to Bailey Sweet 16 has seemed weird to me.
But it's an invitation.
But I've been viewing it as like a, just like I'm throwing a party.
Yeah.
Instead of like, it's my party. It's like, I'm throwing a party. Come. Whatever. Yeah.
Who do you think you want to perform at your Sweet 16?
We keep having this debate, and I really don't know want anyone to perform.
Bailey told me that she doesn't want anybody to perform.
I don't.
What are you going to have? Just a DJ the whole night?
Yes.
And you don't want, like, somebody to just pop out and surprise everybody? I mean, and everybody go to school and be like, holy shit, Bailey had so-and-so pop up at her Sweet 16.
It's just so... We're gonna pull the I'm Bailey Ann, I'm Julia Earl's daughter card. Like, that just feels so awkward.
And what did I tell you? If there's any time to pull the I'm Jelly Roll's daughter, it's on your Sweet 16. You deserve to do that.
It's so awkward.
Dude, you could have anybody. What if you had like, who's your favorite rapper?
Oh god, absolutely not.
Cardi B?
Be terrible.
What if Cardi B just popped out?
It's the Migos, one of them's dead. I don't think that'd work out very well.
Who are they?
The Migos?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, God. We already talked about this yesterday. Yeah, the Migos, and then who else?
I love
else?
The Migos. I don't know. I don't listen a lot. Like, J. Cole. I listen to a lot of older.
Yeah. But I thought Cardi and Nicki were, like, your favorites,
I mean,
too.
Love them. Yeah. But, like, you know.
She's like, the Migos. It's the ad-libs.
It is. It's the ad-libs. No, I really do listen to a lot of, like, J. Cole and that more like modern day R&B hip hop style. So it's
no,
like,
you
that
listen to old school shit.
I do. I really do. You make fun of my playlist. And I think it's great.
It's crazy. She'll listen to like shit from like 95.
I do. I listen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like new rap. I can't stand mumble rap.
Yeah. Me either.
So it's like, I can't do the Moneybagg or Yo Gotti. Just, I can't. You're not telling a story.
Yeah. A young Yo Gotti's been
I like music that's telling a story.
Yeah. I get that for sure. You would probably like, Joyner Lucas then, because he has,
I've heard about him. I thought he was a country guy though.
No, Daddy's doing a song with him actually. I don't even know if we're allowed to say that, but it's one of the best songs. One of the best melodies my husband has ever sang is on this Joyner Lucas song that's coming out. So
I love that.
Yeah, it's
fire.
So
it's fire.
God,
actually,
if I can play it for you guys,
it's insane.
Yeah, no, it's like goosebumps and just like,
oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, his voice is just so beautiful. Yeah, so anyways, I'm really excited about your Sweet 16. It's going
to
be my time to shine. It's going to be my time to shine.
Literally, way more. We're doing it Disco Cowgirl.
Disco Cowgirl,
Disco Cowgirl.
Red carpet.
Pink and rhinestones.
Red carpet.
Can it be pink?
Yeah, you could do a pink carpet.
We'll do a pink carpet then.
Or what if we could find a rhinestone carpet? That would be even better. Rhinestone pink. Yeah, we'll figure it out. But I mean, if we're really going to do this, I need you to get your list over to me.
I've got it, brother man.
I keep hearing this, but I don't see them.
It's all on paper. But also, we both know I can't just hand you a list and you're like, well, what is this? You can't read my handwriting.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I need what do we call it? PowerPoint presentation.
I love my PowerPoint presentations.
I do. They're pretty thorough.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Done a few.
Love.
They're great.
Absolutely.
Period.
So, gosh, I don't even know where to start with you, child. So much has happened since last time you've been on this podcast.
Thanks.
And I was very hesitant with having you come on, was I not?
No, we've both been hesitant about it.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah. I was very, I just, you know, one, being on such a big platform, you're opening yourself up to people having fucking opinions on shit that they have no idea of what they have an opinion on, facts, you know? And two, you're my little baby. So it's like, I just want to protect
Mama
you.
Mama bear.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to protect you. And I also want to do what's right as your parental figure. I never want you to feel like I'm
exploiting
your story. We've talked
about
all
this. We've talked
about
it so many times.
And you pretty much were like, Mom, I want to tell my story. So
it's time.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
It's time.
Yeah,
it's been a good almost 6 years
Yeah,
since anybody's really heard anything from me.
Yeah. And you deserve to tell your story, because I really feel like if a kid your age is watching this, they will be able to be like, damn, Bailey's been through some shit. And if she can do it, I can do it, you know? Mm-hmm. All right. So where do we start?
Where do we begin?
God. Okay. So last time you were here, 10. Let's go back to 10.
Go back 5.5 years.
Yeah. So like the past 5.5 years, in your own words, what would you describe? Like, how would you even begin to tell listeners what they've missed out on?
Just chaos. Pure. I mean, not necessarily negative chaos. I don't think chaos is necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
But both positive and negative.
Yeah.
Chaos has ensued in the last 6 years.
A lot of trying to find yourself and mm-hmm. growing up with parents who are in the spotlight. You're in the spotlight. Like,
a lot of trauma. It's been great, you know?
A lot of trauma. Yeah. And we're going to, when we do talk about the trauma, it's, I want everybody to know that it's Bailey telling her story.
Mm-hmm.
She's not bad mouthing anybody. She's literally telling you what she's been through and what's happened.
This is true.
So I think
there might be a little bad mouthing, but
well, you're allowed to bad mouth.
I'll keep it to a minimum.
Yeah, I try to always take the high road with it, but I mean, after
God,
this last situation, it's very hard for me to take the high road. But I still don't bad mouth her. I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with her?
Like, what is your problem? Yeah, do you have a soul? Is my question.
Right. Like, where is your heart? I think she's a Wendigo.
To be honest,
bitch.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, where?
So 10 years old, was mom still in jail? 10 years old?
To be honest, I have no remember, like no recollect.
So fast forward 2020, quarantine. I think mom got out
in 2019. Mm-hmm. But saying mom to her sounds weird. Felicia got out into really uncomfortable
skinwalk Alicia.
Skinwalk Alicia. Oh, I love it. Got out in 2019, went into RCI sober living. And then 2020, I guess, somehow decided to pop back in and was like, hey, I'm your mom. You're my kid. Let's do this. And I was like, oh, cool, whatever. She popped up 2 days before my 12th birthday, May 20th, 2020. Quarantine at Cantina, which was horrendous. But, and I guess we just kind of started, like, building a relationship from there. Her sister was out. Everything was kind of chill, actually.
I think that was the best they've ever
been. That was great. Yeah. No, that was really, like, that was when they got their apartment after mom got out of RCI.
Which, for everybody who doesn't know what RCI is, what is it?
RCI is, I don't know exactly what it stands for, but it's basically just, like, a sober living facility from people from in Middle Tennessee. Just a bunch of girls that are sober, out of jail, out of rehab, whatever, living together. And weekly drug tests, figuring it out. Have curfews, basically like being in a dorm but sober is the best way I think I can describe it.
Yeah. And she was really stepping up to the plate.
No,
being
for
your mom.
Sure. Yeah. No, she was doing the mom thing. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Pretty rare. So yeah. I was like, this is cool.
And we have always, Jay and I have always tried to, no matter how we personally feel or like how scared we are for the situation, we always try to let it just be natural with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always honest with you, no matter what's going on.
Always.
We're always honest. Like, we don't try to hide anything from her. So this was very organic with you and your mom. Like, you guys, it was really like you guys were healing together for a moment.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. No, like, we really had a thing going on. About 2020... End of 2021 is when she got back with Sha.
Cheyenne is baby daddy. Cheyenne's for everybody daddy. Who...
We love Cheyenne. My fave.
Which you were not for.
Which I was not for. For good reason.
Which was?
Which I ended up being right. Everybody kept telling me. Everybody was like, you know, we can't hold their past against them. Let's give them a chance. They're both in new places. Whatever. And I tried. I tried. But I was right. So
you were afraid that they were gonna fall back into bad habits. Yeah.
And Cheyenne did not. We'll give her credit.
Yeah, Shy's been kicking ass.
She,
man,
slaps.
We're
you know,
so proud of
we
her.
We love Shy.
Yeah.
And we love Shy's girlfriend. And they're my favorite humans on this planet. Literally. But so yeah, they got back together and I think we were all scared, but definitely me. I was just like, I don't like this, and I made that very clear. I don't like y'all together. This is just my childhood all over again.
It was triggering your
not,
trauma.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not here for this. But
so let's pause right there really quick for people who don't know your story.
Oh gosh.
You know, this just made me think, because a lot of people might not know your entire story. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the first, and then we'll catch back up. But mm-hmm. let's talk about, you know, from birth to when we got full custody.
Okay.
Just a little recap so that some people, you know, who don't know what's going on will know.
All right. Well, I was born May 22nd, 2008 to Felicia Beckwith and Jason Defford. And he's going to hate me for saying Defford, D Ford. And they were not together. Dad was in jail. Yeah, I feel like I should know that. Yeah, my dad was in jail. And Felicia was doing her own thing. She was with Shy, living with her parents, my grandparents.
So Shy's been around since before Bailey.
So Shy's been around since before I was born. Mm. Like when my mom was pregnant with me. I guess things were fine for the first couple of years, the years that I don't like remember, because mm-hmm. you know, I didn't get my full like cognitive memory until about 5. Bits and pieces come back of like, I remember like when I met my dad, and then like, it's weird to say, when I met my father, and like stuff about like my Susu, who was there and when she passed when I was 4, but very little. Kindergarten year, I guess, is when it started to decline with mom and Shy. Mm-hmm. You know, addiction and stuff. And then I guess around 6, first grade was when it just like went gone.
It was getting really bad to like where your mom wasn't able to like take you to school. Mm-hmm. You didn't have, you know, like let's go, just dive in a little bit, like to the house, you know, like you.
God, the house was horrendous.
Yeah, it was like.
Like nightmares. Like I still to this day.
Yeah, it was bad. I remember the first time your daddy took me there, that you had to have been like, what, 7 years old?
About 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your daddy took me there. And my first memory of Bailey is her cooking dinner for her little two cousins, her Aunt Candace's kids. And I think you were like,
who I was literally raising. Yeah, like literally raising these two children.
So you gotta imagine Bailey's, you know, 6, 7 years old, and she's momming these two younger cousins, you know, 2, 3 years before I even came in mm-hmm. the picture. And so you were standing on like a stool making these kids, I don't know if it was like butters and noodles and butter or peanut butter, I can't remember, it was something, but it was just like, it broke my heart, because I looked around and this house was completely trashed. Bailey had no bed. She was sleeping in a chair.
And usually, because when my cousins moved in, I started sleeping on the floor because I didn't want my two younger cousins mm-hmm. not to have, like, an actual, like, space.
Yeah.
So I gave my cousin Michael the chair, and then Lily had the couch, and made a little palace.
The neglect in the house was just horrific. It was really bad.
Honestly outrageous.
Yeah. Like, no kids deserve to go through what they went through, having two addicts, you mm-hmm. know, as parents. So
yeah.
That's how bad their addiction was getting, and that's what I'm trying to paint the picture. Yeah, it wasn't like they were just popping a pill here and there. Like it was like
it was.
Yeah.
God, it was terrible. So this is all happening. Bunch of people, my great grandparents, my great great grandparents, great 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 whatever, they start dying, and that's when it like progressed like even worse, because I guess they were just really close with, especially with Shaw. And then 8, yeah, right after I turned 8, 2016, around that time was when it got to the point where they weren't like being able to pay the bills because they're spending all their money on drugs. So it's like the lights kept going out and the water kept going out, and, we owned the house, like there wasn't rent, but, all these like things kept turning off. I remember my dad, I was seeing my dad every other weekend at this point, which we've all discussed. I hated yeah. my father for the first like
but
9 years of my life.
But why? In therapy, we've learned
the we've learned that there were two reasons.
Right.
One of them was because of my mom, mm-hmm. because she hated my father, and I was like, oh well, it's my mom, and my mom hates him, so I hate him. Duh.
And also, she badmouthed
him. And also, constantly.
Yeah.
A given.
And as a kid, you're gonna
protect your mom. Like of course you're gonna listen to her, whatever.
Absolutely.
She says.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the other reason that we've discovered, I hated the women my dad was with, because
He does not choose great women.
No, at all.
I've seen some of
one time he, and then he popped out with a kid. And the same time he popped out with a kid, he got married. And I was like, this is some bullshit, to be honest. What are you doing right now? You're having a woman, you're having a child with this one.
Yeah.
And you're married to this one who I thought was 20. I thought you were 21.
Yeah, I love you.
We've discussed this. I really did.
I love you.
I remember I looked at my grandparents when we met. I was sitting in the backseat of their van and they're in front. We met up at the Burger King or whatever. And I was like, she's young. Like, she's not old enough to be like my mom. And they were like, I don't know.
Your poor grandparents. They always just tried to stay out of it. They literally always just tried to stay out of it. They were just like, I don't know, man.
Literally terrified.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like, she's a baby. Like, yeah. That's scary. And then I remember, like, being meeting you. It was hilarious.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you. Remember that next time you try to razz me about my age.
You are still old.
Okay, so moving on. When the bills. We were trying to help pay the bills, and we would send them money for bills, and it would get spent on drugs
every time.
And so finally I got tired of it and was just like, this is a revolving door. Like, they're not going to get better unless we, you know, speak up and say something. So that's when, you know, Jay was like, we went over to the house.
Yeah.
We saw the house, and Jay was just like, we have to get custody of her. Like, she can't live like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to court and go ahead.
And then I guess there was that in-between stage of, like, me not being y'all's, but me not being mom's. And there was a weird space. And I went and lived with Aunt Jade for a little while. And then I guess y'all get married.
Aunt Jade is Shy's sister. And we love Aunt Jade. Shout out Aunt Jade.
We love Aunt Jade. But she had just had her kid. She had just gotten married. And I moved in with her for 6-ish months. A little less. A little 4, 5. Whatever. Couple months until y'all get the condo.
Yeah, we didn't think we were going to be able to get custody.
No.
At all. We did not think that it was going to go that way. So we went to court thinking, like, okay, if we get custody of her, then we'll get a place to live.
We'll get a place. Yeah.
Not realizing that you have, you know, a call girl and a drug dealer.
Yeah, like, trying, how's this gonna work right now?
Trying to rent places in Nashville was so hard. Like, we got turned down left and right. So that's another reason.
Especially all with dad's charges and everything. That just wasn't gonna go
very well. So that was one of the reasons why she had to go live with her Aunt Jade, was because we didn't have a stable place and we didn't want to keep moving her around. Mm-hmm. And we wanted her to be able to go to school and be around, you know, family as much as possible until we could get a spot. So
yeah.
And so I think we were in the middle of tour too.
Yeah, it was also time. It was the right in the middle of the addiction skills tour. It was not we were not having a grand old time.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then February we moved to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Was there for a couple months. I've blocked out most of my Vegas memory because
we went to Vegas because Daddy had just had enough of Nashville and was like, I just want to change and I want to get Bailey out of this mess so that she can start healing. And we really thought it was going to be, like, helpful, you know, because when you're in that situation, you don't know, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Reflecting, it was not helpful for anybody. I repeat, not helpful. God.
Yeah, but as parents, we're scrambling, like, what, like let's put her in a different environment. Like,
yeah,
you know,
and it's, like completely holding no grudges. It happened, but, like, holy shit, that was rough.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It was a lot. It was a lot to take on at such a young age.
Yeah.
And it was so, like, that.
Yeah, it was just, like, one day, it's like, hey, live with your Aunt Jade. The next day, you're going to go move with your dad, who you can't stand, and his new wife, who's a literal teenager in my mind. So what are we doing right now?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, for sure.
Gosh.
So we ended up moving back from
home,
from Vegas to Nashville. And then that's when we got the condo, I believe.
No, right? We got the condo before.
Oh, okay. So we did get the condo before.
It was condo, Vegas. And then we got that house in that neighborhood. That little neighborhood.
McKay's Mill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
McKay's Mill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was when I went to Clovercroft Elementary School.
Clovercroft. Moving on up.
Which I absolutely hated.
Well, we tried to get you out of the hood and into the suburbs. Yeah. So
I tried to fight a bunch of people. Fourth grade Bailey was angry.
Fourth grade Bailey has been angry.
Bailey's been an angry camper.
Bailey's been
for
angry.
A couple years.
For a while.
Bailey's still a little angry. Yeah. But I think it's part of my personality.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's part of your trauma.
I'm always going to bring in a little elf.
We're working through it. You're doing really good with it. But your mom was AWOL at this point.
Yeah, we don't know where mama is.
We have no idea where Felicia is. We don't really want to know where mama is.
Yeah. Shy's back. She's chilling.
Yeah.
Then she dipped again because her dad died.
Yeah.
Fair pass, kind of.
Yeah.
And then came back. So all is well in that world. But mom's like, we don't know where mom is.
Yeah. And this went on for a few years,
right?
Yeah.
Years.
She was completely gone.
We talked a few times over the phone in Vegas.
Well, because wasn't she still in jail?
She was in jail.
Yeah. Anytime she's in jail, Felicia does great.
Yeah, literally.
She'll communicate.
She don't have a choice.
Yeah. She'll communicate. She's the best mom ever. Like,
now they've got iPads in jail. It's a whole, they got a thing going on right now.
Yeah.
But
wait, what'd you say?
So now they've got iPads in jail.
Yeah. Like,
they've got a whole fucking thing.
I can't even believe
that. She texts. I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
My God. But, so yeah, mom's AWOL until 6th grade, 12th birthday. She pops back up.
Mm-hmm. I feel like she comes around on the birthdays.
Every time. And yeah. I'm like, can you please
And this is
stop.
After you had written Sunshine After the Rain.
Yes, this is both. And Tears Could Talk.
Mm-hmm. I feel like she pops up whenever, like,
I'm healing.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it like
best
that.
Best way to put it, yeah. When I'm actually doing half decent, she's like... What can I fuck up in her head now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On today's episode of Let's Traumatize Bailey.
Next mood coming soon. Let's talk about Tears Can Talk and Sunshine After the Rain. So
great.
Those songs you wrote yourself.
I did.
How old were you?
They slay. Sunshine After the Rain, I was 9. Mm-hmm. Tears Can Talk, I was 10, almost 11.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
I hate them both now. So.
Oh, they're so good.
They're
like iconic. When you brought me that verse, I remember when you first brought me that verse to, I think it's Tears Could Talk.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you wrote this? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. Holy shit. And right then I knew, I was like, this kid's a fucking songwriter, dude. Like,
yeah.
To be 10 years old and have.
And write that is kind of crazy, to be honest.
It was wild.
And looking back, like now, like being almost 16, like actually. Really writing now. Mm-hmm. I look back at that and I'm like, oh my God, there's so much I could have done better.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm also trying to give myself credit because I was 10. So yeah. It's like, can't be too harsh on 10-year-old Bailey.
Bro,
you know?
You smashed it out the park. It was really good.
She's late.
Sunshine After the Rain, too.
That wasn't bad.
You were such a baby in those videos.
I was such a baby. The videos, the voice is hellacious. All my closest friends.
I miss
her.
Bring her back.
She was so sweet. What happened?
I know. I tell everybody, I'm like, wait till your kid's 13.
Oh, I know. You keep saying it. And I'm like, thanks, Mom.
I love you.
We're about to make 16 hell just because of that. Watch
me. Oh, please. No, 15 was enough.
15 was enough. I agree.
Can't handle it.
We're good.
God. Okay, so we're getting back to where we're now.
Now we're active.
Well, remember I had you pause.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so Mom is coming back into the life at 12.
12.
Her and Shy
going
got back.
13. Yeah, 13. They get back together.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Mom
this
was
is
sober, out of jail.
Super sober. This
okay,
is great.
Now we're picking up where we left off.
We're picking up. November 2021.
Oh, God.
Mom and Shy get back
she
together.
Remembers.
Oh, I remember.
She remembers. Let me
oh,
tell you something about this.
Dates.
Is,
I've got receipts.
This is baby Einstein, dude. She remembers fucking everything.
Everything for. We moved to Vegas February 26th of 2017. I've got weird dates. God. I don't know why. So I'm great in history class.
Yeah.
But. So, yeah, Mom and Shy get back together, and I'm like, this is disgusting. Okay, but sure. And I give it a chance, and everything's fine. Flash forward to
2022.
It's March.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, this is horrendous,
good
you guys.
Times, yeah.
So 7th, 8th grade Bailey had a really smart... 7th grade Bailey had a really smart... 8th grade Bailey had a really smart idea post breakup with my first, like, real, like, girlfriend, I guess, which was to have a secret Snapchat account and do some... absolutely horrendous things on said secret Snapchat account.
I wasn't even going to talk about that, but if you
oh
want
I'm talking
to,
about
can, okay
it. Oh, it's hilarious. It's
I was talking about Mom and Shy, but if you want to talk about it
oh
we can.
But now years later I think it's funny.
Okay.
Oh, it's hilarious. So she had a little wild face. She rebelled a little early, morally.
Yeah.
And that happened, and then that was when me and Mom's relationship got tedious.
So her and Shy started having problems.
Yes.
And your mom wanted to move out.
Mm-hmm.
And when Felicia wants something, she's very conniving. And mm-hmm. she would call me every day and like wanted to be my friend. And that the crazy thing is with Felicia, I've always, no matter how I've felt about her personally, have always put Bailey first.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to be as cool with Felicia as possible.
Yeah, always.
And, you know, she's coming to me and she's talking to me about like Shai and her just aren't getting along. And, you know, she wants to be such a good mom to Bailey. And she knows that.
And that was later in July.
Oh, okay.
After the summer.
Okay, I was talking about moving in to...
Oh, moving into Shai's?
No, moving into...
That was in July.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
So in March, she moved in with Shai.
Okay, gotcha.
Her and Candace and Candace's kids.
Yeah. So they have a very codependent,
narcissistic, family, toxic relationships.
So they cannot... Like, her sister's always with her. And we love Candace. We love Candace. You know?
She's... such a nightmare and really one of my favorite people, but like,
we love Gan. She's a beautiful disaster.
She really is. We love Gan.
I just feel like Candace does better when she
really does. She does great because my mother, Skinwalk Leisha, has a way.
I gotta tell you guys why we say why we say Skinwalk Leisha.
We were talking about her recently.
Bailey goes,
I was like, swear to God, she doesn't have a heart. She's like a skinwalker. And Pop goes, Skinwalk Leisha. I was like, this is great. So now we cannot let it go.
Yeah, no, it's literally like, it just stuck, dude.
It stuck, and now it's it. I remember we told my dad that, and he was like,
he didn't get it.
He was like, what? We're like, Skinwalk Leisha. How do you not think this is hysterical?
And I want you guys to know the reason why we are laughing at this is because once we get to the real serious shit, you're going to understand that if we don't laugh, we're going to cry.
We're going
to
cry.
So it's no, like, literally. We might as well just make fucking God. Light of
yeah,
it,
this
dude.
Is, I don't know how I'm going to say this like appropriately, really, once we're almost there, too. How do I say that?
I mean, you just tell the
how
truth.
How do we word this?
It's your testimony.
You know what
baby?
I mean? Yeah. So long story short, flash forward, it's May.
She moved
14.
In with
she moved in with Shai.
Shai. Okay, yeah,
they're cool for the first like 2 months.
Yeah,
my mom had been like drinking again, but not like drinking again,
which we knew
she'd have a glass of wine or yeah. She'd have a margarita at a Mexican restaurant.
But let's be real here, you told your mom when you knew she was having drinks, you guys had like a big argument about it.
We had a huge argument about it.
Yeah,
and that was in about March,
because you're like, why were you upset? If I had to think of a time I personally smelled my worst, it would have to be after one of Jay's concerts, an outside concert at that. My right armpit was ripe for the pickings, smelled like beef stroganoff. I kid you not, it was rancid. As a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUNNY, BUNNIE, at LumiDeodorant.com. And that's LumiDeodorant.com. I personally freaking love Lumi. I have every scent. My favorite one is the toasted coconut, though, because even when you sweat, it still smells so good and so yummy, and you feel like you're on a tropical island. But I promise you guys, any sort of smells you could possibly have, Lumi will cover it up. Once again, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code BUNNY, BUNNIE, for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BUNNY, BUNNIE, at LumiDeodorant.com. We all know there are things in life you have to compromise on, like going out instead of staying in, or eating fast food instead of cooking at home. But when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now, or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist, and these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. I know the next time I need a doctor, I'm definitely logging on to ZocDoc. Go to ZocDoc.com/bunny, BUNNIE, and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/bunny, BUNNIE, ZocDoc.com/bunny.
I think I was upset because it was like, it was scary. I was like, this
is triggering,
going to be your pathway.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to lead you back into everything. And she was like, no, it won't. I trusted her, which is my mistake. Always my mother is trusting her. But we had this huge argument and she finally just convinced me it's okay. And I'm like, cool. Looking back on it, you manipulative bitch. Really? But
okay,
it's fine.
Let's be nice.
These are all things I've said to her, so it's okay.
I know.
We're being, you want to be nice to Felicia after what I'm about to say?
No, I know, but I'm just, we have to, with the name calling, we have to be.
Oh, she's fine.
I know.
Oh. So it's May, and her and Shia are starting to get, you can tell they're starting to like pull. I turn 14 and I decide I'm going to go spend like basically the summer with Shia and mom because they're living together. And I'm like, I may as well see how this goes.
Catch up on lost time.
Yeah, catch up on life, you know? And my cousins were there and like, they're my favorite people. And it's like, I just was like, this is cool. Like my whole family's together in one place. Sick. So I go there and I'm spending the summer and things are starting to get a little rocky towards like the beginning of June, but like they aren't bad. I'm smoking a lot of weed,
which we did not know,
which they did not know.
No,
my mom knew.
Right. Her mom,
which is how this starts.
Yeah. Her mom actually provided her with the weed.
A lot. Yeah.
Also had you doing what else?
Oh, we're getting there.
Okay.
Oh, it's great.
Well, I had you drinking.
Had me drinking a lot at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By June, we would have been drinking together because I remember we got really drunk at Pride together.
That shit infuriates me. It's so hard to hear.
I know.
New thing.
It's, trust me, it's not easy to say either.
No, it's like a mom should, it's okay to be a friend too, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's like, you have, why do you want your kid to go down the same path as you?
No, it's crazy.
It's wild.
To be honest.
I always say,
and I think, yeah,
that Felicia is so jealous of Bailey that she tries to sabotage her greatness and what your potential is.
She knows that I can be everything she isn't.
Yes.
And wasn't. So it's like, how do I make this not happen?
Yes. And we're not talking shit. Once you guys hear
and we're
what
like,
else
okay, Fee.
Has happened, you're going to understand where I'm coming from.
No, for sure. So yeah, we start drinking together. Everything's, and I'm like, okay, like this isn't whatever. You're just cool, mom. You're letting me drink and let me smoke weed. Like, this is cool. And then it gets wild. And by July, we were doing, which is wild for me to say at 15. Frame went straight. Nobody knew except my mother, who manipulated and convinced me to do that.
And giving her bags,
giving me like for my Christmas present.
Yeah, and so
that wild,
is,
right?
It's so infuriating. I think what broke my heart was listening to you tell the story of the first time that you. Why don't you feel that?
Oh yeah, we're doing that. No, mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. It was 4th of July. And we had left my Mimi's for her big 4th of July thing that she does every year. And she was like, my cousins were sleeping in the back seat. She's like, hey, we're going to make a stop. And I'm like, what kind of stop, Felicia? What are we doing? And I was so drunk. I don't know. Jello shots were wild. Okay. And we're in the car and I'm like the kind of drunk where I just don't even like, I can't even feel what's around me. So I'm just like, okay, whatever. Let's just stop somewhere. She's like, yeah, we're stopping by my dealer. And I was like, that's a bomb to drop. What? She was like, yeah. And I was like, let's stop at the gas station. I need a drink. Like, I need like a Red Bull because like I'm spinning. She was like, cool. So we stop at the gas station. We get a Red Bull. And like, I think I got like a snack or something. And I remember we get into a fight in the gas station bathroom because I was like, we're stopping by your dealer. I was like, do you mean for my weed? Because that's not a problem. But what do you mean your fucking dealer? And that's when she told me, she was like, yeah, I've been doing, but it's recreational, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I remember freaking out. And then she like talked me down and she's like, it's okay, like, you know, it's just like a recreational isn't a bad drug as long as it's used right. It was like, she's like, you know how the same way that weed isn't like a bad drug, same thing with, it's just different, blah blah blah, blah. And I'm 14. This is my mother, who I really trust and who I've built a really good relationship with at this point. And I'm like, okay, whatever, mom. Just don't let it get bad again. I won't. I promise I got you. Okay, cool. Whatever. And then we go to her dealer, and then we stop at this Dollar General empty parking lot. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning at this point. Cheyenne's staying with Mimi that night, so it's just gonna be me and Mom at the house. We're in the Dollar General. She's like an ace or like whatever she's doing. And she looks at me, she's like, "Will you try it?" And I'm like,
14 years old.
No. What the fuck do you mean, will I try it? I'm drunk as shit right now. And I even told her, I was like, the first time I do something like this, I don't want it to be
in a Dollar General parking lot.
Parking lot, also drunk.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard horror stories. I have horror stories now about people that have gotten drunk and done and like lost their shit, you know?
Yeah.
So whatever. And I ended up doing it because she's, like I said, manipulative. And just kind of, she did the mom thing. And it's weird to say did the mom thing, but like, it's the best way I can put it, like in terms of like how persuasive she was, how convincing it was.
Right. It's not a mom thing.
Yeah. But it's like, it's my mom thing.
Right. Right. That's a norm for you.
So it's like, it's my mom. It's like, whatever. She did the Felicia thing and it worked. And then over the span of these couple of months that I really don't have a lot of recollection of because I was so fucked up all of the time.
Yeah.
Whether it was weed or I was drinking or I was
vaping
or snorting Valiums or Xanax or whatever I was doing. Like I was never sober for a good 8 month period starting in June.
And it was crazy because we knew that like Bailey was being an asshole, like when she would come home.
Because I was super like, I was very good at keeping it like, well, y'all cannot know.
Your mom made you feel like that also though, mm-hmm. was what has come out in therapy. Exactly. Was that, you know, she made you feel like you choose daddy and bunny over me and mm-hmm. you know, this is our little secret.
And like, I never wanted her to feel that way because like every time it would get brought up, like we'd get into a fight one day. We'd be high as shit. We'd get into a fight. And I would always tell her, like, you know what? I'm just going to go tell mom. I'm going to go call Bunny right now and I'll tell her. Yeah. She'd lose her shit on me. And then she'd start crying. And every time I just feel bad. And it's like, I don't want my mom to hate me.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I say a word to anybody about any of this, if I try to quit, she's going to hate me.
Yeah.
I remember we got into an argument in, like, October, November. And it was, that was around the time, November was around the time that I started doing, like, almost every day.
During this time, let's pause really quick. Mm-hmm. During this time, Felicia had finagled me enough to say, hey, I want to move out of Shai's house. Can you guys move us to Franklin? And of course, Jay and I being like, oh my God, Felicia wants to be a mom. Hell yeah.
So we got to live in the school district. I can stay and ride the bus to her house. It was going to be great.
Yeah. So we got this house for them in Franklin, which is a suburb out here by where we live. And it was right up the street from us. And you know, we paid half the rent there. We paid the bills there. We made sure that they were comfortable. Like, this was an ideal situation for us because
it should have been great.
Right. And we're thinking, oh my God, she wants to be a mom. Like, this is so cool. Not knowing that she is fucking traumatizing the fuck out of her kid, man.
Yeah.
And like, Bailey would come home and like, I could tell some things were a little off, but I just always try to give her space. That's one thing with Bailey I do always try to do, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I had a stepmom who was up my fucking ass all the time. And with Bailey, I just am like, she'll come to me when she wants.
Yeah,
she
and I shut down. Like,
yeah,
I'll even say that, like, you wouldn't have been able to know because I wasn't making eye contact with you enough for you to see.
Yeah.
Or like, I was gone.
Yeah.
Really.
Like, we had no idea.
Presley
that
didn't even know.
On.
Like, my best friend in the entire universe, who knows everything about me, didn't know.
Her mom closed her off so much from all of her friends. Like, it was like you were living like almost a double life with your mom. And then you would come home with us and you would go to church with your church friends, which that even started leaking into your church friends.
Yeah.
That whole situation.
Insane, right?
So November, you're doing all the time.
And remember, we got into an argument about it and I told her, I was like, I gotta quit. Like, I've got midterms coming up. Like, this is my freshman year of high school. Like, I've got midterms. I gotta get my shit together.
And in the meantime, her sister's doing fentanyl in front of you. And
literally,
I know. And it's just, it's
and
so,
every time I feel like it's still your first time hearing it. I get
it's so hard to hear that because it's just, it makes me want to beat people up.
I try.
You don't deserve that, you know? Like, that is
mind-boggling and infuriating.
It infuriates me so much, though, because what if that shit had fentanyl in it? What if mm-hmm. she killed her own daughter? You know, like, would she have any remorse? Like, this is where all gloves are off with Felicia, is that it's like 8 years. We have given you 8 fucking years. We have had custody of you now
for 8 years.
More longer than your mom mm-hmm. did. You know, and it's like, when does the motherly instinct kick in? Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
I don't think it does. I don't think she has one.
Yeah.
That's the difference between her and I.
Absolutely mind boggling the shit that
it's
she's
insane,
done.
To be honest.
This last was
but
hurrah.
But I think at least in my culture, especially in my generation, I've noticed that has been normalized in some, I don't know why, in some weird way it has been normalized as this party drug. And the way I did it is not normalized. Doing it before English class is not normalized. Doing it with your mother is not normalized. But
no,
not implying that it should at all, but it is so out of the realm of possibilities for so many people to think,
especially a kid who, you know, who is as privileged as you.
That's what I'm saying. That's yeah. what I'm trying to find, like, a nice way yeah, to privilege. Say it. It's like, if that's not the drug I have to do if I'm going to do drugs. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to me. And it's also important because it was my mom's drug of choice.
Yeah.
Which, how the actual fuck can that be somebody's drug of choice?
Well, because your mom, and I, you guys listen, I laugh when I get uncomfortable.
Same.
And I'm laughing at her reactions. Same. I'm not laughing at her mom.
We're
laughing at
my insensitivity to the situation.
Yeah. And
what
I think
we're laughing at.
Yeah. We laugh during trauma all the time. But, your mom was also using heroin. She's a heavy heroin user. Mm-hmm. Your mom was shooting up heroin.
Always.
Doing speedballs. So, you know, to be that low on heroin, you would need to bring yourself up. That, you know, her mom was heavy, heavy, heavy heroin use. Now, I don't know what she's doing, you know.
I don't ever be known, to be honest.
Yeah, but crazy. So the story gets a little bit crazier as we continue on.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Mom up and takes off.
Yeah, mom dips. So I got, like, completely sober in February. Wasn't drinking, wasn't smoking weed, wasn't no pills. No, I wasn't even vaping. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Out of the ballpark. And
By herself, because we still
myself,
don't know anything.
Nope,
y'all
have
on.
No idea what's happening. I literally just was like, I gotta get my shit together. And whatever, so I did. And in March, when mom found out that I was done, that I was getting sober, and that was after our thing on site too. It was higher entire thing at on site. And then after that, that's when I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore.
Well, Bailey
starting to feel sick.
Bailey went through a really bad depressive era.
Yeah.
And probably we did an emergency. What do they call it? An
intensive therapy
workshop.
Retreat. Yes.
Yeah.
Workshop.
At this place called On Site, which is out here in Nashville. It's amazing. And I really feel like, as much as none of us wanted to do it, we needed to do it. And I also think that it helped Bailey learn, you know, a few things, like, because you were so against therapy. You were like, I fucking hate therapy. I'm not doing it, blah, blah, blah. And I think that going to that session
is what made me want to get sober.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's what really happened, because I wasn't sober that entire weekend that we did that. And then I was like, okay, maybe I could have gotten more out of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I guess, how I thought about it. Because I was like, it looked like you and Dad got a lot from it. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that could have been cool if I was, like, here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Present.
It just mm-hmm. And it hadn't even realized how much shit I had missed. And it's like, I'm 14 years old. I have lost all of my relationship with people. Maybe I should get it together. And I did for a while.
Well, it started, you know, doing that dark era, too. You went through a whole bunch of shit with your friends. There was a lot of drama going on. Yeah. You had started a little bit.
I was angry.
A little bit of lying about certain things.
That was later. That was post.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that was when. So I got. Everything was great in March. I got baptized and I got saved and baptized in April, mm-hmm. which still stand by even after everything I did.
Yeah.
But
we're so proud of you for that.
Thanks. Yeah. But so I got with this girl I was dating in April and everything was just like going great. Come May, my then girlfriend tried to kill herself. I don't know if I can say kill herself.
Did your mom take off by then?
Mom, yeah, mom left in March when she found out I was getting sober.
Yeah,
she got mad at me, left.
Mom took off as kind of like a punishment.
Yeah, she was mad at me because how dare you not with me anymore? I'm gonna leave. Okay, bye. Thank you. Have a great day. So she left.
Yeah, she left, and we don't know. We think she went to Kingsport, but we have
but
no
we have
idea.
Really no idea yeah. what she what was happened. Doing.
Stopped calling, stopped communicating.
Refused to talk to me until May.
Yeah.
Didn't talk to me until May. Pops it for my birthday.
Again.
I'm like, why do you keep doing this to me, brother yeah. man?
I've never realized how much she pops
birthday,
up on your birthday.
Birthday.
Bitch,
birthday.
If you try to pop up on this birthday, please do.
I'll kill her.
We're ready.
It's a threat. Yeah, you know what I mean?
For sure. At this point, it's like, don't start God. None, won't be none, Felicia.
Literally. Don't even look at me, you know? And because she's always had that, like, I don't know why, it's always been her thing to be like, I'm your mother. I gave birth to you.
It's a narcissism in her.
I don't care if you gave birth to me. You didn't have to.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're holding this over my head. The fuck? I didn't ask to be here, babe. Like, no, what are you doing
with
this?
We're so glad you're here.
Glad I'm here. Also glad I'm here, too, finally. It took me years to be happy to be here, but I'm happy to be here.
So Bailey's girlfriend tried to off herself.
Yeah, tried to. And then, so that just, like, sent me spiraling. Because I was like, well, there's this, and then there's mom, and now I'm like, I don't know what to do with anything, really, ever.
And you're holding this all in. You're not talking to
us. Nobody knows about any of this. Yeah. Literally, I've like the most silent I've ever been. And then that was when it got like dark. Mm-hmm. And I was still like smoking a lot and doing whatever, but wasn't doing work because my mom wasn't around. So it's like, I didn't, why would I?
Have access to it.
Didn't have access, didn't have need, didn't whatever. Mom comes back for my birthday, and then that sends me even, like, worse into, like, this pit I was in, and that created some interesting behaviors and actions of mine that are absolutely horrendous of me, to be honest. I did some things, I said some things, and had a really terrible summer.
Yeah.
And it got dark. Well, I think we know that. But had the best group of friends I'd ever had. Had great false relationships with people. And in September, when all of this came to light. Yeah.
She's talking about just some lies that she told. And
yeah.
We don't have to go in depth about
it. We don't
got to
get into detail about.
A bunch of lies that she had told that, you know, were super harmful.
Super dark. Super wild.
Yeah. All came to light that she was not telling the truth.
Yeah. And the reason for these extreme lengths was because can I say suicidal or not? Mm-hmm. I don't know what. What's the fuck cancel culture's like right now?
No, you're good.
I was very suicidal, and I needed like an out because I've always been like a very like guilty person about that. Been suicidal for years. Like a lot of this came to light in therapy recently. Has been like apparently threatened to kill myself since like 8. So yeah. You know,
Bailey told me when she was like 7 or 8 years old, she's like, I'm gonna go kill myself. I said, okay, well, how are you gonna do it? Because that's always what I always need to know, how serious she is. And she's like, I'm gonna walk out into the snow and freeze to death. And I was like, okay, kid, let me know how that goes.
Yeah, literally. Real conversation. Literal conversation we had. But it had gotten bad. And so I needed like a way to like make people in my life hate me. So it's like I had an excuse to like make, I don't want people to feel bad about me killing myself. So it's like, if y'all hate me, then it's chill, right? If y'all hate me, y'all really don't want me here, I'll just peace out myself. Get out of y'all's hair. And all of this happens in September. Everything comes to light, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my way out. Like, finally, it took y'all long enough for this to come out. Like, seriously, it's been a long couple of months lying, you know? And then tried to kill myself, which is great. And then went to Utah.
Well, let's sit in that for a moment.
Oh,
so
we're sitting in this.
We, you and I had
sound
actually
like my therapist right now.
Gotten into...
Well, we had it out, Loki.
Yeah, I think it was our first argument we ever had.
True.
Like...
Or only
intense.
Really,
yeah, because we don't yell at each other, and we don't
like, neither of us like to yell,
yeah, at all.
We've had like our like moments where we're both like, okay, get the fuck away from me, we'll deal with this later.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, we've never had it out, and that night,
yeah,
we had it out.
Well, I had gotten phone calls from mm-hmm. parents and had learned a bunch of stuff that was going on, and it was my kind of like, what the fuck is going on, Bailey moment.
Wake up call moment.
Yeah,
like, for both of us.
Yeah. And it was just like, I was so, it's so hard to talk about without getting emotional, but I was so scared for her, and I was so mad that she could even go to these links, that I was just like, what are you doing? You know, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Not knowing
anything
everything else that's happening.
Until later. And I've honestly cut out a lot of that argument in my mind, just because it's like, I don't want to remember us that way.
Yeah,
because that was rough. But I do remember something got said, and I just said, oh well, you'll never hate me as much as I hate myself. And I don't think either of us realized how deep that went until later.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh well, that makes sense now.
Yeah,
like, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
But
so that night I sent Bailey to her room, and she took a bunch of pills that I did not know she had.
That you did not know I had. And honestly, I don't think I knew I had them either, to be honest. I think I just found them in a drawer.
And the next day she came down and she's like, Mom, I got to tell you something. And I was like, what's up? And she's like, I tried to kill myself.
And you were like, huh?
Yeah, I was like.
You're like, are you fucking what?
I said, say that again. She said, I tried to kill myself. And I said, well, how did you do it? And she told me that she took, you know, the pills. And I just looked at her and I said, Bailey, we have to treat this as a cry for help, you know? And I think in that moment it just crushed, and it's not about me, it's about Bailey's feelings, you know,
obviously,
but it just crushed me, because I was just like, she was just upstairs. Like, what if she had really gone through with it? You know, like, holy,
what if it had worked?
That's what I'm saying. What if like it had really gone through, and like she had gone through and it had worked.
Took a bottle of, like, what if I took that bottle of pills and didn't throw up?
Yeah. So your daddy and I had to make the decision of like, this is a 911 help call and we need to do something. And it was the hardest decision I think Jay and I have ever had to make together as a couple. And I knew that my parents had put me in a mental hospital when I was a teenager, when I was 14. And I know what happened to me in that mental hospital. And I just know that Bailey's issues run deeper than a medication and being in a fucking straitjacket or whatever they do, you know, nowadays. And I'm not making light
not
of
straitjacket.
I'm not making, no, there are people who are in straitjackets, and I saw it with my own eyes, but that's fucking traumatizing. And I was just like, we can't,
you didn't want to traumatize me,
you know, we were like, do we put her in a mental hospital and then hold her for 10 days, and do, you know, we put her on medication, which, you know, we're so against. And I'm like, no, this is trauma. This is hurt. This is pain. Like, she needs somewhere to go that she, no, nothing can get to her. Nothing can bother her.
And we didn't even, and it's crazy that you even knew that it was that deep rooted, because you didn't know what it was deep rooted in. You just knew it was like, well, there's some childhood shit, but I mean, obviously there has to be more.
Well, no, I mean, I've seen all the pain that you've gone through, and I knew that this is not something that you throw a pill at. This is something that you need to rip the Band-Aid open, and you've got to really start healing. So Daddy and I worked with OnSite, who are just the most amazing people in the world. Like, that, if you guys ever have any sort of trauma you need to deal with, any sort of, you know, you need to go to a therapy, like month long course,
really,
they do all that stuff. These people
are great,
fucking amazing,
incredible
dude.
People.
Like, they really
incredible
care about
program.
Your mental health.
They do.
I discovered in this journey with you that the children's mental health crisis, there is such a void.
It's
and nobody wants to help
depressing.
You. Nobody wants
to
help
honest,
these
the
babies.
Statistics are depressing.
Oh, and I want to, dude, I definitely want to start getting more involved with children's mental health and stuff like that. Same. After going through this. Mm-hmm. But I learned that there's really not a lot of options for kids. It's there either you put them in a mental hospital or you fucking deal with it at home. And it's like, that doesn't
and
help.
And neither really seem like healthy options.
They're not
for
healthy
anybody
at all, for sure, because that's teaching you how to just kind of like suck it up and get over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, how
and
do we move on?
Yeah, you need tools.
We need to move through, not on.
So tell us where you went, kid.
I went. And before y'all get scared,
yeah,
it's not like the ones on TikTok.
Yeah, or I went to, or the one that Paris Hilton went to or anything like that.
But I went
that.
To wilderness therapy.
Yeah.
And listen, y'all. I thrived in wilderness
this
therapy.
This kid
I fucking
thrived.
Love the mountains, you guys.
This kid thrived. I'm talking like, it was probably the happiest I had ever seen you when we went. We were allowed to go visit you after how long?
It was 8 weeks.
8 weeks. So you went for how long to this?
I went for almost nine because mm-hmm. I left the week after y'all came.
Yeah.
I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
You're like, I got you.
So we ended up finding this wilderness camp that is fucking amazing, and they treat trauma, and you know, it's more like hands-on, and you're out in the fucking wilderness, and you're like
a blast, you guys.
You're with other kids and you're like healing together, and you guys are just learning. Nothing can it's not like a fucking military base or anything.
It's
like
not
that.
Like yeah. You guys like it, like I look back, like I think back on like some of the memories, like sometimes those randomly pop up and I'm like, that was a fever dream.
Yeah,
like that's insane. Like I did so much like real work and came out the other end so much happier, like on like a spiritual and emotional intellectual level.
Yeah,
but like I also had a ball. Like I learned yeah. how to like make fires out of like
yeah.
trees. Ooh. And like I could crack apples open with my bare hands.
Dude, we went to go see her and
I
she was
so much dirt,
so messy, and like you know me, I'm an OCD freak. I'm like, ugh, kid, they don't have you showering out here. And you're like, Mom, I'm in the wilderness. And
like,
I'm like,
where do you see a shower
she
right
sat
now,
down and she fucking like cracks an apple crack open, and just, I'm just like, okay. Just like, I was like, it was
I
like
remember your face.
It was like Troop Beverly Hills. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie, but
no.
The fucking mom is like this bougie ass bitch and she's out in the middle of the wilderness like that was me.
No, it was
sure.
Literally crazy. I remember she was like, I have to pee, but like I don't want to pee.
Yeah, like, we had to go pee in a bush. Like, it was wild.
And that
dude.
Was my life. And, you know, it was great.
But it was in that first. So I didn't find out about the stuff with Felicia until her therapist tells me about 4 weeks in.
Because I had told my therapist. I was like, so this happened.
Yeah. And, you know, Bailey, I will give it to this kid, man. She went there. Like, we were completely honest. We didn't just wake her up one day and say, hey, you're going
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I wasn't gooned or anything.
Yeah. No, we said, hey, look, this is what we're doing. We're trying to find something, you know. So Bailey was like, when do I leave? I am
I was
ready
like, get
to
the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
you guys.
She was like, I am ready to fucking go heal. I'm ready to fucking just, this is my journey that
yeah,
I
was also
go on.
Like, I felt like I was just like, it's that weird thing where it's like, I was sitting alone with the person who tried to kill me. Mm. And that's like a really like dark paradox to be stuck in mm-hmm. until you can finally like get out of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it was just me.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know what to, I'm sitting in the room that I tried to kill myself in with just the person who tried to kill me.
Yeah.
No, like deep. I have to, like, I was just ready. I was like, cause I came to a point where it was like, I had three options in life in general. And I've always given myself three options. And I was finally hit the fork in the road. Mm-hmm. It was either I can kill myself, opt out. I can continue being the shitty human I am and doing all the things I'm doing and doing drugs and lying and hurting people and hurting myself and end up dead or in jail, or I can get it together and heal and really do the work and be the person I've always dreamt I could be. Mm-hmm. And option A didn't work. I tried and I was like, there's no point in trying again. I'm a logical human, whatever, doesn't make sense. And B was like, that doesn't make sense if that's only going to lead me to A. So gotta heal. Mm-hmm. Gotta get it together. And if we're gonna do it, we gotta do it now. We gotta do it right, because mm-hmm. I'm ready.
And you did it. You went there.
I really
did. You did the fucking work, kid.
I did the thing.
We're so proud of you, man.
Thanks.
So yeah, her therapist fucking told me about this, and I literally just lost it. I started crying on the phone. I was so mad. There were so many fucking emotions. And, you know, of course, the first thing I want to do is find Felicia and fucking rip her up by her fucking ear and shake her and be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But then it's like another part of me wanted to run to Bailey. Like, why didn't you tell us? You know, like, why did you hold this in? Because you never have to. Like, Jay and I have really tried to create a space at home of like, we don't care what you did. Just tell us before anybody else can. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, talk to us. And I think as parents, we were like, damn, this was going on right under our nose and we didn't even fucking know it, you know? Yeah. And so when we got to go out there and visit you, you had that sparkle back in your eye and you were just, even though you were in the middle of nowhere and didn't want to be there, you still did the work and you fucking, you know, you sat, we sat down, we had some sessions and you read everything and told us everything that had happened and there were tears and, you know, anger and love and just, and, you know, overall it was the best thing I think that could have happened in that situation.
Agree. Yeah. I think that we definitely did the best thing for me and for us and for all of our futures, honestly. Yeah,
for sure.
From crash diets to fad diets, injections and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E. That's SonoBello, SonoBello.com/bunny.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If a kid's listening to this right now and they're going through something like that, like with a mom that's coming in and out of their life and hurting them all the time or, you know, battling drugs and stuff like that, what would you tell them? What have you learned?
God, I've learned so much. It's hard to like put in a list, but like, I think if there was anything I would tell somebody listening to this now that's battling problems with parents or addiction or mental health problems or suicidal ideation, like whatever it is under the radar, all the things we've all dealt with, I would tell that kid not to cop out.
No,
not worth it. It's not. Whether it works or it doesn't, it's not worth it. Mine didn't work, and sitting here now, what, 4 months later? Yeah, 4 months later. So happy it didn't work. And I remember waking up the day after my suicide attempt, looking back at everything and looking back at all these years of everything, all the pain I'd been through. I was so angry at God, at myself, at the world, that why couldn't this have worked? Why couldn't I have gotten out? I just want to get out. And I would have never forgiven myself for not being able to forgive myself. Because at the end of the day, I was a child. And I was thrown into so many situations I should not have been in. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I'm a human who put myself in situations I shouldn't have put myself in. And I didn't need to put myself in. And I did things I shouldn't have done. And things happened to me that shouldn't have happened to me. But I can't hold a grudge against the world and I can't hold a grudge against myself. Because at the end of the day, doing that is going to make you spend your entire life in a box. Mm-hmm. And you really have three choices. Mm-hmm. You die, you fuck up and you die, or you heal and you grow. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't know then when I made that choice to heal and grow was that, or when I made the choice to try to die, was that that third option, that third row, leads to so many other paths. Mm-hmm. Now I get to choose what I want to do for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I can do this, or I can write songs, or I can be a doctor, or I can work in the FBI, or I can be a public speaker. I can heal. I can continue to learn more about myself. I can learn about others. I can teach. Mm-hmm. I can care now. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's only, the only reason I can care about other people is because I learned how to care about me. Yep. So at the end of the day, take the hard route. Yeah. Don't cop out.
Don't cop out.
Don't cop out.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's amazing. And, you know, you're still in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
We all.
And it's it keeps going.
Yeah.
The thing about that road is it doesn't end.
Yeah.
The other two, they end. They end quickly.
Yeah.
Frankly. But like that third road, it keeps going. And that third road keeps going. That's why they're so. That's why it just opens to a whole world that if you cop out, you'll never know exists.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth it to just know it's there, to do whatever you want with it.
And it's not easy too. When you came back, you had like an adjustment period.
Oh, where
you
had to, I wanted to sleep outside. It's rough, to be honest, guys.
She had an adjustment period where, you know, it's not like everything's fucking, you know, it's perfect.
Not it's not.
Yeah, at it was all. Hard. But you're choosing to live.
Yeah, and it's every day. Like I'm still
your life.
Like I still wake up, and I still have days where I'm like, I don't want to wake up today, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But it's still like
that's being human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's being a person.
I'm like that every day.
Yeah, it's part of it. I'm like, I don't want to fucking be here today, to be honest with
I'm
you
like, I don't want to get out of bed
can
today.
I just like take a nap for the day? Yeah, we'll yeah. deal with it tomorrow.
I would love that. If your daddy wasn't at home all the time, I would probably lay in bed.
Yeah, literally.
At least for like a week I'd be mm-hmm. like just lay there, and then I'd bed rot, and then I'd get up and fucking make myself do something
literally more. But yeah, like I still have those days, and I think that's just on a human level and on a mental health level of like days that I don't want to be here, and every day I still like I make that choice to be like, okay, well, friendly neighborhood reminder, not being here didn't work for you very well. Mm. So what you gotta do? And you're like, oh, damn it, you're right. Okay.
So where it stands with your mom is we know where she is.
We know where she is.
Because she got in trouble again. But her lies caught up to her.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no communication still.
No, and there won't be.
Which, we'll talk about that. And you know I tell you this.
We always have this conversation, and I'm very, very strict on my stance in it. Yeah. I'm a very emotional person, but I lead with logic.
Yeah.
And that's something I learned about myself.
Your Capricorn moon. Because her Gemini sun is crazy.
Crazy. Something I learned about myself through this whole like process has been I'm a very black and white person.
Yeah.
Like I don't believe in the middle mind or the integration of emotion and logic. It doesn't comprehend in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm such a math person. Mm-hmm. But like I've learned with my mother that there is no healing for her. She is... Frankly, I believe my mother is soulless, and I don't say that about many people, but I don't think there is healing for her because I don't think she ever wants it.
Yeah,
maybe she will one day, and you know what, if she does, good for her. I hope she does it, and I hope she has a great life, and I hope she figures it out, and I hope she does it for her.
Yeah.
But I'm not an option in her life anymore, and she's not one in mine, and I'm very cut and dry on that now with everybody.
And I respect your boundaries. I just always tell you that, you know, if your mom does get her shit together and can actually fucking be a mom and not be a fucking weirdo.
Just because I've forgiven myself doesn't mean I'll forgive her.
Right.
And I do think that one day I will. Because I think that's not the right thing to do for her, but the right thing to do for me. Absolutely. I don't deserve to hold that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I don't deserve to hold the things she did to me.
Yeah.
In me. And I'll forgive her, but it's one of those things that you don't forget.
Yeah.
And I can forgive her without trusting her. Yeah. I think that's something that people forget a lot is like you can forgive somebody without forgetting, without moving on, without rebuilding. Forgiveness doesn't mean to, oh, well, I forgive you for that. Let's restart.
Yeah.
Forgiving just means I forgive you for that.
I forgive you for me.
I forgive you for me. Yeah. Literally. What I'm not forgiving her for shit.
What do we do now? Where do we go from here?
Where do we go? Honestly, I'm still figuring that out.
We got spring break coming up.
We got spring break coming up, which I'm super excited about.
We're still trying to decide where to do it.
We literally don't even know where we're going yet, but whatever. We got spring break and I've got the ACT. My Sweet 16.
Super excited about coming up, which we'll probably video the Sweet 16 for Patreon or something like that.
Oh my God, if we don't film it like my Super Sweet 16, I'm not doing it.
Okay, then we will. We'll do it for sure.
Look, I'm not doing it.
That will get you to do the Sweet 16. I'll film it.
That will get me
to
do it. We have to do it like my Super Sweet 16, bro. I don't know. I'm writing a lot back in the music thing, I guess. So hopefully I'll see some of that soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got a cool thing going on over here, actually.
I know. I'm proud of you. You're fucking thriving, kid. And you're doing good. And you did just lose your grandmother literally last week.
Yeah, that's really depressing. We're not going to talk about
that. I know. We won't talk about it. But, I mean, you're literally kicking
in the
ass.
Like, just buried her a couple days ago.
Literally just went to the funeral 2 days ago.
Yeah. God, it really has been that. Jesus. I'm just ignoring it, to be honest. I'm still in denial. Still in that part of grieving.
Yeah. It happens. But you're thriving, kid, and you're fucking, I think that you are the example that kids need, you know, teenagers need right now, because it's fucked up out there. I would not want to be a teenager right now in this time and age.
You don't, really. No. But at the same time, it is so fun.
Yeah, no, good.
To be honest, we're having a blast. It's like we're having a literal, like the mental health crisis with teenagers right now is disgusting. Yeah. And it makes me want to do everything in my power I can, and I'm trying. I'm going to keep trying. And like, this is my first step towards continuing to help this movement of teenage mental health.
Yeah.
But it's also a great time to be a teenager right now, because none of us care about politics and none of us care about religion. And we're all just kind of doing our own thing.
Everybody's just trying to figure it out. These are going to be some of the best times of your life, but I can't wait till you go to college.
Oh, I know. You're so excited. We're running a frat together.
I keep telling Bailey we're gonna go join a frat together.
I told you I said we can do it just together. You can't do it by yourself.
I'm gonna be Van Wilder. I'll be like the fucking old lady who never graduated college but throwing the dopest fucking parties that everybody talks about.
No, it's gonna be great. We're gonna live in the dorm together.
That's where I'll go find my little cabana boys.
Brother, that's rough, you know. Jeez, I don't think there's cabana boys in Texas. Oh, yeah, we're going back to Texas.
Are we going to Texas?
Oh, we're going to Texas.
I thought we were going to Florida.
I haven't decided. God. I'm deciding between the UF and Texas A&M.
Okay. All right. Respect. I do love Texas A&M.
A&M will be fire.
I love it. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast, kid. It's been nice catching up with you after all these fucking years.
After all these years.
Gosh. I'm
sure there was some questions, comments, concerns. But I feel like we've answered most of them.
Yeah. If there are questions, you guys just put them in this podcast below in the comments. And then like when we do a Q&A,
maybe we'll
bring
like a Q&A or something.
Bailey on. Yeah. It'll be good. I love you.
I love you.
And I'm so proud of you. And your daddy's so proud of you. And Mimi's so proud of you. We are all just so proud of you, kid.
Proud of us. We're doing it together.
I mean,
we really couldn't do it without each other.
For
sure. We all go crazy.
Teamwork makes the dream work. And we put the fun in dysfunction.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
And I think what's cool about our family is we don't try to hide the shit we've been through, man.
At all.
You know, like we didn't do this. We didn't talk about it when it was happening in real time because we were, you know,
I don't think we really knew what was happening.
Well, it's not even that, but it's like our family needed that moment.
Exactly.
You know, to like be like, what's going on and get our head around it. And now we're out, you know, we're out of it. So we're just like, man, God, glad we made it through that.
The grass is greener, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
We found that out the hard way, but the grass is greener.
For sure. Well, I love you, kiddo.
I love you.
I love you so much. All right, let's go do this fucking Grammy fitting.
Grammy fitting. Food. Oh my God, I need to.
We are manifesting that Daddy is gonna win his
first Grammy. He is gonna win the Grammy.
Daddy is gonna
win his
first
Grammy.
And we're gonna be there.
And we're gonna look great.
And we're gonna cry.
Oh my God, we're gonna cry so much.
We're gonna cry so hard.
So bad.
Oh my God.
Streaks.
I can't wait.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. Well, Haley's doing our makeup, so it won't move. So we'll
be
good.
Yeah. Legendary.
It'll be awesome. All right, you wanna tell everybody bye?
Bye, y'all. Love you.
Love you.